Hello and welcome to RC Talk, the voice of Ratio Christi at Marshall University. My name is John Mays. I'm your host. I'm also the regional director for the states of West Virginia and Pennsylvania, along with being the chapter director at Marshall University. On last week's show, we talked about why the church isn't more interested in apologetics, and I really didn't talk as much about that as I had planned, but I did give you resources. And I feel like I left you short on the resources. So today's show, I'm going to give you some more resources, but also try to explain, I guess, the point of sharing popular ministers last week. And that was just to give you an idea of why the church isn't more interested. That you have these big name pastors, whether they're doing God's work or teaching a false doctrine or not, that people are reading and following, and they don't know, the church doesn't know anything about apologetics or very many apologists. So that kind of led me into giving you the resources that I did, and like I said, I feel like I left you short. So here's some more. Websites would be The Poached Egg. And seriously, Greg West runs The Poached Egg. He's a friend of mine, and it's exactly what it says, thepoachedegg.net. Crossexamine.org, I may have talked about that. ColdCaseChristianity.com, ReasonableFaith.org, OneMinuteApologist.com, CARM, CARM.org, Apologetics 315, and some books that are very helpful, starting point for anyone that wants to learn about apologetics. Even if you don't want to learn about apologetics, you should probably read these books. The first one I would recommend is Tactics, and I'll give you the gist of it. It's a way to have a conversation. It's non-confrontational. It's very easy. It asks two questions, and it teaches you how to use variations of these questions. One being, what do you mean by that? And the second one being, how did you arrive at that conclusion? So obviously you can use those, but make it your own. And you can have full-blown conversations with anyone that believes as you or don't believe as you or whatever you're attempting to do. Husbands, I don't suggest you use it with your wife. She asks you to do something, don't ask her, what do you mean by that? Anyway. Stealing from God is another great book. It's Frank Turek. Cold Case Christianity, a book by J. Warner Wallace. God's Crime Scene, as well by J. Warner Wallace. On Guard is supposed to be a starter book. It's by William Lane Craig. It's a little bit more in-depth, even though it was written as a starter book into apologetics. I think you'd really enjoy it. The Case for the Resurrection is always popular, Dr. Gary Habermas and Mike Lycona. And of course, we can't leave out Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. If you're looking for apologetics to teach your children, a way to do that, there are books for that. There are actually curriculums for that. Cold Case Christianity for Kids. Again, who could that be by? J. Warner Wallace. What is God Like? It's a series by William Lane Craig, very basic to the point. And I mentioned Natasha Crane last week, but I didn't actually give you her website because I didn't know off the top of my head. It's ChristianMomThoughts.com, ChristianMomThoughts. And Tasha is very good at what she does. She writes a blog. She has three books that are very interesting and are very helpful in a way that you can share with your children. And I can't leave off my friend Melissa Kane Travis. Melissa Kane Travis is a little bit more technical, but she has put out a series of books titled Young Defenders, and it's very helpful. I read it to my son. He likes the one on morality. What a surprise. Like father, like son. So, on to today's show. With all those resources and myself talking about apologetics so often, some people may not know what apologetics is. I don't know. Well, I do understand why. And that's, again, part of the reason why the church isn't as interested in apologetics as those who, like myself, are apologists. I'm going to give you an article, so to speak, that will give you both sides. It'll give you some of the reasons the church uses that they don't think apologetics is necessary. And I may have done this before. I don't know that I've done this exact article. But as I said, it's going to give you both sides of the story, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says. Anyway, oh, man, that's only once so far, though. I'm going to use scripture throughout. I'll obviously throw in some of my own, whatever. Let's just get to the point. We are just rambling now. Matthew 22:36 states, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, this is Jesus speaking, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And this is a Pharisee lawyer that was testing Jesus. The answer Jesus gave is known as the Shammah prayer. Shammah, strictly meaning to hear, is Hebrew that begins the most important prayer in Judaism. It's found in Deuteronomy 6:4. Here's your quick answer on how we know the Old Testament is reliable. Jesus quotes it in the New Testament. Thus, you get the Old Testament. The Shammah actually includes Deuteronomy, not only 6:4, but it goes on through verses 4-9, spoken daily in the Jewish tradition. So what does that have to do with apologetics? Well, I'm glad you ask. My goal during this particular podcast is to provide a more in-depth or concise look at Christian apologetics, namely three specific areas: the definition and types of apologetics, objections to apologetics, and the biblical command for everyone, not just some of us, to use apologetics. And I've said it before, everyone uses apologetics. Some just don't do it very well or realize that they are even doing it. Definition: apologetics is the art and science of presenting the gospel in such a way as to overcome the objections of a reluctant person for whom Christ died. That's pretty fancy. The art and science of presenting the gospel. See, we present the gospel, but yet you argue me we're not going to do apologetics, and that's in the definition of apologetics. The Greek word apologia, meaning reason or defense, simply giving a reason why you believe, or a defense of what you believe. In this example, Christianity. There are three approaches and five types. The three approaches consist of positive apologetics, presenting a defense of the supernatural nature of Christianity in a logical, reasonable, and coherent manner, not that I believe because I feel it in my heart, or I was raised in church, or whatever. I'm not even going there. Three approaches: positive apologetics, negative apologetics. Among us that do this, known as polemics, we attach the false religious systems considering the gospel of Christ, false doctrine, cults, and such things as that. Cultural, not cults, cultural apologetics. Using all resources of common ground, also called conversational. There's where those two questions can come in handy. This type is typically more of a relational style of doing apologetics. For those who want to build relations before having a conversation, then you can use cultural apologetics. Five types. The five types of apologetics are, one, the classical approach to apologetics. It's a type, it's not an approach. Classical apologetics stresses arguments for the existence of God as well as the historical evidence supporting the truth of Christianity. Classical apologetics is characterized by two basic steps, theistic and evidential arguments. Evidential apologetics stresses the need for evidence in support of Christian truth claims. The evidence can be rational, historical, archaeological, or even experiential. Philosophical, scientific, all of those fall under evidential. This is the broadest approach and sometimes overlaps with one or more of the other approaches. Experiential apologetics. Some Christians appeal primarily, if not exclusively, to experience as evidence. Oh my goodness, and that's what I was trying to say back when we were talking about the approaches. Share your experience with me. I can't argue with it. You may have experienced it, but it doesn't have anything to do with God. I had a nice quote I was going to use there, but I can't remember it. I learned from a friend over the past week. Anyway, you can tell me all you want of the experience that you had, and I can say that's good. That may be true for you, but not for me. Anyway, this type is limited, sharing your experience, better known as your personal testimony for those who have listened to this previously. And anyone can claim experience as evidence. You know, I can tell you that I met Santa Claus just as well as you can tell me that you follow Jesus. Historical apologetics stresses historical evidence as the basis for demonstrating the truth of Christianity. Notice I keep using truth. At last week's class at Marshall, a young man presented Do All Roads Lead to God, and he covered a lot of cults and different things as that goes. And afterwards, I discussed one of the denominations that is very popular in this area. He touched on cults, which are different belief systems, obviously, but there's Christian cults as well, one of them being the Church of Christ. I know, don't get upset, let me finish. The Churches of Christ that identify with the Church of Christ International or whatever, that believe that you must be baptized to be saved. That would be considered an additional work. Salvation is not by baptism. If you get hit by a car, once you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, then if you have been baptized, you're still saved. So I was mentioning that and using historical evidence as an example. And they talked about the thief on the cross and such things. And those who are in a Church of Christ will tell you the thief on the cross, that Jesus hasn't been resurrected, so that doesn't cut it as far as you still need to be baptized. They also profess that they're the only ones right. Anyone that professes that they're the only ones that have the right answer should be considered a cult, because all of us very well may be wrong, but all of us cannot be right. So, you know, they're adding to the gospel. They're getting away from the essentials of salvation. So, just a warning, as far as doing apologetics, that would fall into the polemics area that I mentioned earlier. And that would probably fall into a rant or a rabbit trail. Sorry. The fifth type of apologetics would be presuppositional apologetics. And it affirms that one must defend Christianity from the foundation of certain presuppositions, meaning things that we already believe. The basic truth of Christianity presents and then proceeds to show in any of several ways that Christianity alone is true. That wasn't clear at all. Presuppositional, $5 word, strictly means you're bringing your opinions, thoughts, and beliefs already to the talk, the argument, the discussion that Christianity is true without giving anything other than this is how you believe it. So, most people that use presuppositional apologetics are in the Reformed camp. They scream Bible only, such things as that, which obviously they don't know what that actually means. They can't read the Bible. Just using Bible only, you can't reason. There are so many examples out there, and I've went over it before. Beside the point, so let's look at some arguments against apologetics, and they're basic objections, and they're not biblical. They're taking the Bible out of context. The first one is apologetics doesn't need defended, or the Bible, or God. None of the above needs defended. I'll give you God on that one, but the Bible indeed needs defended when people are telling you that it contradicts, that it's a myths and fables and such things as that. Anyway, Some will say the Bible does not need defended, and they use Hebrews 4:12 that states, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." We agree that God does not need defended again, yet the use of this verse against apologetics does not seem sufficient for not doing apologetics. Jesus didn't do signs for evil and lost men, and I've argued many a times that the only reason Jesus did signs, wonders, and miracles is that it's apologetics. You can't just show up somewhere and say, "I'm God," and expect everyone to believe you. So Jesus, those who object to apologetics, use Mark 8:11-13 that states Jesus didn't do signs for evil and lost men. I'm not going to read that entire verse to you, Mark 8:11-13, and anyone that's familiar with the Bible knows what it says anyway. The next one is it states that we only need faith. Oh my goodness. Agreed. We are saved by faith through grace. It's a free gift. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Who seek Him. You may think there's a contradiction in the Bible there because no one seeks after Him. We do need faith regardless. God can't be proven through apologetics and He cannot be disproven. However, Jesus' entire ministry was built on using apologetics. Paul used apologetics. Peter commands us to do apologetics. I'm going to get into that. But only the Holy Spirit can save someone. One, the Holy Spirit's job as the Comforter is to convict, to convert. But He can use any tool He wants to do that, including apologetics. And of course, the last objection I'm going to touch on is many state apologetics is not biblical. I've given you some of the verses, scripture that those who state such a thing use. So let me present my side, or the biblical side, should I say. 1 Peter 3:15. Some tell me that that doesn't apply, so I'm going to skip it for now and come back to that. But I opened this podcast early with Matthew 22:37. Tells us God, that Jesus stated to love God with all of our mind, and we seem to be loving our neighbor as ourselves perfected. We've got that down. We love our neighbor. That's the second commandment. The first one is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second is love your neighbor. We love that one because it's easy. We're showing the love of Christ. You've heard me talk about that before. Moving on, 2 Corinthians 10:5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Sounds pretty apologetic. Sounds pretty much like a command. Philippians 1:7, it is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I told you in my heart, you all are partakers with me of grace, both my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Notice the word defense. Verse 16 states, the latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. That's not one of the more popular verses to show that apologetics is biblical, but it's one of the stronger verses. Philippians, what was that? Philippians 1:7, and it goes on down through verse 16. Titus 1:9, he must hold firm to this trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Apologetics. Again, some people will argue, I've seen this a lot lately, some people argue they don't want to talk about doctrine, or they don't need doctrine, or they don't need theology. Well, when you say that, you're doing or using doctrine and theology. So, probably not, shouldn't say that. Anyway, another scripture, God calls upon us to use our reason. Isaiah 1:18, to discern truth from error. 1 John 4:6, to determine right from wrong. Hebrews 5:14, and to discern a true from a false prophet. Deuteronomy 18:19 through 22. Jude 3, beloved, although I was eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. And of course, 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Therein lies the hard part. Apologetics is not optional. I mean, for anybody, it's not optional, especially for the follower of Christ. It's a scriptural support, and I've given to you, and I'm going to give you a little bit more. Jesus and Paul, as I've mentioned, both used apologetics. Jesus in Matthew 22, Luke 5, 8 through 26, Acts 2 through 22. Paul used it in Acts 17. He reasoned daily. I mean, I've went on and on giving you the biblical support. I don't know how you can read the New Testament or the Old Testament. The very first verse in the Bible itself said, in the beginning God created. That's an apologetic. Anyway, that's four times. Sorry. I've given you resources, and now I've given you scripture from the Bible itself. Why isn't the church more interested? I honestly don't know. That's the gist of it. I don't know. So, with that being said, prayerfully you'll use some of the resources. You'll listen to what apologetics actually is. Read the book. Look at the definition of apologetics and then read the book. Either way, I've given you both. There's no excuse, but for some reason, if you know what it is, please email me at johnmays@ratiochristi.org. If you'd like to be a part of our financial support team, I would greatly appreciate that. Please go to johnmays.ratiochristi.org. And until then, this one may have left you a little thunderstruck.
coming